We come now to another revelation of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. For those of you who are just listening in for the first time, we've been following through in the past few lessons on the revelation of God in His names. And we're dealing now with the one today, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. And I'm reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 17. And while you're finding the place, may I again remind you that these revelations of God in the Old Testament, revealed in His names, is fulfilled for us in the New Testament by our Savior. And this one we have today, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, or our banner. He's the one under whose banner we walk and live, and shall I say, fight. Now read this word in verse 8 of chapter 17 of Exodus. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited or beat Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said, Jehovah said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have, Jehovah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now it might be well for me to say right here that Amalek was a descendant of Abraham through Keturah. Do you remember in 25th chapter of Genesis that Abraham, after Sarah's death, married a woman called Keturah, and he had six sons through Keturah. And Amalek is a descendant of Abraham through Keturah. For those of you who know your Bibles, you remember Abraham had six sons. He had Ishmael through Hagar, then he had Isaac through Sarah, then he had six sons through Keturah, and Amalek comes through that line. Now, I want you to mark something. In chapter 15 of Exodus, we have the Lord revealing himself as Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And we went to John chapter 5 to have the New Testament confirmation of that, that Jesus Christ is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, in the 16th chapter of Exodus, you have the giving of the manna. And in the 6th chapter of John, you have our Lord declaring, I am the bread of life. In the 17th chapter of Exodus, you have our Lord, Moses smiting the rock and the water coming forth. And in the 7th chapter of the book of John, you have where our Lord is the one who said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Spirit was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified. I just suggest this for you who are Bible students, a remarkable thing. Exodus 15 goes with John 5. Exodus 16 goes with John 6. Exodus 17, the first half of the chapter, goes with John chapter 7. Now we come to verses 8 to 16. Then came war with Amalek. Now you notice in the first part of the chapter, and I think maybe I should say this, here we have another revelation of the Lord given to us, where they were thirsty again. They murmured. They were a stiff-necked murmuring people, weren't they? And they murmured again because there was no water. And you remember the Lord told Moses to stand before the rock and smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, here's a picture of the Lord being smitten for us. Only one smitten for us, by the way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read, that rock which followed them was Christ. So you have it here. At the Red Sea, 3 days' journey without water, and God met them. And then you have now in chapter 17, they were thirsty again, and the rock was smitten, so the water came forth. Now, I read this, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. You'll notice that if the Egyptians hindered Israel leaving Egypt, Amalek, the fleshly relations of Abraham, hindered them going on with God. I want you to keep that in mind. Israel did not seek out Amalek. Amalek sought Israel. God did not call them to the conflict, but their unbelief, that is, the unbelief of the people, exposed them to it. As you have it here, they had said in verse 7, is the Lord among us or not? Unbelief. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. I repeat, God did not call them to the conflict, but their unbelief opened the door, exposed them to it. Now, up to this present time, from Egypt to this chapter, from chapter 12 right on down through middle of chapter 17, God had fought for them. He had met their every need. When they water, he gave them water. When they needed bread, he gave them manna. And they had done nothing at all. They were the recipients of his wonderful grace. But now there's a change. Choose us out men, said Moses, to go out and fight with Amalek. Christ has finished the work for us alone. Sin, death, judgment. Christ has satisfied God for us. I can't fight against death or judgment or from the penalty of sin. God does that whole thing for us, for you and for me. And when you and I accept the Savior, we've been cleansed from sin and forgiven every trespass. We've been delivered from death, not only physical but eternal death. Even when a believer dies, he leaves this world and goes right into the presence of God. And we've been delivered from judgment. But the war with the flesh goes on. As long as we're down here, we have a problem with a body that's not yet redeemed. I'm sure I'm talking to every one of you in this. How you would like to live a life without sin? How would you like to live a life 24 hours a day in perfect, wonderful, intimate fellowship with God? Having become a child of God, he's done so much for you and for me, we want to please him. But we find too many have the experience of Romans 7. Do you remember? When I want to do good, evil is present with me. When I want to go here, behold, I go someplace else. And this is the score. This is a hard thing. I say, up to the present time, they've done nothing but trust God. And God's done the whole business. But the moment Amalek comes on the scene, now you've got trouble. Choose you out men. We've got a warfare. Which reminds me of Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, where the Apostle Paul writes, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh desireth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. You see, friend, regeneration is not fixing up the old flesh. Let me get this thing very clear in your mind. God has no confidence in anybody's flesh, whether it's religious flesh or moral flesh or bad flesh. Romans chapter 8, 7 and 8 says, the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When you and I accept the Savior, we receive a new nature. We receive a new life. We receive a new spirit. But we also have a new enemy, the flesh. The very moment a person accepts the Savior, you have conflict. Now, the unsaved man doesn't have conflict. He knows nothing about this. It is one of the hard things for young Christians. They accept the Savior. They're full of joy of the Lord. My, they're just so happy. They want everybody to know about the Savior. And then all of a sudden, bingo, something happens. They find themselves sinning against the Lord. And Satan comes right along and says, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't do that. And so they get discouraged. And they wonder if they really were saved. You see, I want to emphasize this. It was the Lord who delivered them from the judgment in Egypt. It was the Lord who brought them through the Red Sea. It was the Lord who watered them. It was the Lord who fed them. It was the Lord who guided them. But when in unbelief, when they asked the question, is the Lord among us or not? We don't know whether Jehovah's with us or not. Then came Amalek. I wonder if I might repeat something I have said before. I want you Christians to realize we have three implacable enemies. We have the world, we have the flesh, and we have the devil. Before one is a Christian, you don't have those enemies. You're one with the world, and you cater to the flesh, and you don't care what the devil does. But now, I've accepted the Savior. I've become a child of God, and I'm living in a world that's opposed to God. I'm living in a body of flesh that has a lot of weaknesses. And I've got the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the god of this age, against me. How in the world am I going to live for God? Ah, the indwelling spirit, we shall see in this chapter how God gives the deliverance. But first of all, I want this thing very, very clear in your mind. We have three enemies. And you'll notice in your Bible, it's always the Father in opposition to the world. Now, you find that in 1 John chapter 2, where John writes in verse 13, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. I think that's verse 15. Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. He that do the will of God abideth forever. That's why in John chapter 17, 19 times in that prayer of our Savior, he talks about the world. You see, we have a real, real enemy. We are in the world, but not of the world. The world is an enemy of God's people. And then we have another enemy, the flesh. I've just quoted to you Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The flesh desireth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So the Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer to guarantee victory over the flesh. When you and I fail God in the flesh, it's because we're not trusting the Spirit of God who indwells us. We're trusting ourselves, and of course we fail. Then the third enemy is the devil. Do you remember in 1 John chapter 4, in the first 6 verses, he talks about the Spirit of Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. You've always got this opposition to Christ. You take Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, where we have the adversary, the devil, seeks to test Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Do you remember? He tested the Lord Jesus Christ on the grace of God, the word of God, and the person of God, just like you have in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve, when the devil tempted them. So I just say very briefly, we have three implacable enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And as I say, it's so easy for us to trust the flesh. And I want to repeat the statement. The Egyptians, which speak of the world, hindered them leaving Egypt. But it was Amalek, the descendants of Abraham, fleshly relations to Israel, who hindered them going on with God. And I have found Christians The world has no pull on them at all. And they've had partly victory, not only over the world, but over the devil too. But when it comes to the flesh, how frail we are. And how easy it is to yield to the desires and lust of the flesh. All of us are guilty to a more or less degree. Now, the reason, how can we have this victory? Well, may I just suggest to you that the indwelling Spirit of God guarantees it. We do not need to fight uncertainly in this battle. You remember the Apostle Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3-5, when he said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Or you take in Romans chapter 7, at the end of the chapter, when he cries out, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Speaking of the flesh, he answers, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Or you take Colossians 1:29, where Paul says, "I strive according to the working of him who worketh in me mightily." Or you take 1 Corinthians 15:57. Do you remember? Where it speaks again, having spoken of resurrection, he speaks again of this fact of guaranteed victory. Or Romans 8:37. "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now the reason for the conflict is we have an old nature and we have a new nature. You see, the unsaved man, I'm sure if I'm talking to any today, and you haven't taken Christ as your Savior, do you know what you want? You want to make the flesh stand before God. You want to improve the flesh so it'll be acceptable to God. God won't accept it. Again, may I remind you of Romans 8:8. "Those that are in the flesh cannot please God." You see, "Well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm doing the best I can. What more does God require?" Well, that's it. What does he require? He wants you to put your trust in him. It's very, very hard for us. I know what I'm talking about. It's very, very hard for us not to trust the flesh. Now, I know I'm talking to a lot of folk who are religious, who profess to be Christians, and even they are still trusting the flesh for their salvation and trusting the flesh for deliverance. You're going to set your jaw on your will and you're going to get deliverance. Believe me, I'm never going to do it again. Yeah, but you do. It's like the fellow says, "I can take it or leave it." Well, I know what you're going to do. You're going to take it. The moment you and I put ourselves in the way of temptation, we fail. You see, friend, more powerful against sin after you're saved than you were before you were saved. The flesh hasn't been redeemed. The flesh hasn't been freed from its desires. The lust of the flesh is still there. You know that, and I know that. Don't fool yourself. How can I get deliverance? I do things I don't want to do. I say things. In fact, it just comes right out of your mouth, doesn't it? But we're too proud to bring it back. And the flesh comes in there and it gets us into a lot of trouble. And when I read this passage of Exodus 17, "Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, he has made the provision for the victory," which we're going to take up in our next lesson. I can't stop here and drop it. I'm giving you the background to this. Regeneration, becoming a child of God, the flesh is not fixed up. The flesh is not made righteous. I have a new nature. I'm born again of God. I'm no longer a child of wrath. I'm a child of God. But I'm well aware of the fact that I'm living in a body that is not yet redeemed. We wait for the redemption of the body. That's why we wait for the coming of the Lord, when these bodies will be changed from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible, from being limited to being unlimited. We're going to be made just like him. But until the Lord comes, or until, as long as I'm in this body, as long as you are in that body, you and I well know that we have a problem. And that problem are the desires of the flesh. And I know a great, great many Christians, and I'm not questioning the fact that they belong to the Savior. I'm not saved by keeping my body in control. I'm saved by what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. I'm saved because I belong to the Savior. I'm saved because He has taken hold of me. I just took Him by simple faith. And the moment I received Him by faith, He came to indwell me by His Spirit. But I'm still in a body that's unredeemed. Now where can I get the victory? Where can I get the deliverance? So we'll take it up in our next lesson. How we can be delivered and how this warfare with Amalek, the victory was guaranteed and God revealed Himself as Jehovah Nissi. May the Lord bless you today.